In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Yesterday we had a lovely baptism here of Ava, and so Mike and Stacey aren't here today. They partied yesterday, and so we pray for Ava in a new life in God. And after the baptism, Barbara and I went to Fulham for a wonderful wedding. And here was the daughter of Rajan and Bernadette, who were married in Fulham yesterday. A wonderful celebration and an incredibly busy day. So I'm impressed that some of you have come today after all the partying yesterday. So we pray for them in their new life together. And they will be joining us as a married couple occasionally. And it's good to see Taff here today. Put your hand up, Taff. Taff is a long-standing member of St. Andrew's Church from North Wales. He's come all the way from North Wales to see me today. And I've never seen him looking so fit. But he's on a diet of meat and eggs, he tells me. So if you want to look fit like Taff, have a word with him after the service. Our readings today. Now, I've given you the handout, so take it with you. We're going to pick up on some of this in the course of my talk as we go through. Now, if you want a definition of what Christian worship is, people talk a lot about worship in churches. If you want a definition of what Christian worship is, let's look at this Romans chapter 12, because I'm going to give it to you. Romans chapter 12. Look at the handout. Here's Christian worship. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, so that's you and me, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies. Now, when it says bodies there, there's a particular Greek word called soma. Say that with me. Soma, soma. And it means the whole of your life, not just your physical body. The translation doesn't help here. To offer your whole life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So here's the definition of what Christian worship is. The purpose that you were made. Here it is in Romans chapter 12. It's such an incredibly powerful verse and chapter. Christian worship is the offering of all that we have and are to God. Everything about our lives offered to God. So it's not about coming to church and singing particular hymns. It's not about singing maybe our favourite chorus or something that's uplifting. That's part of it. No, it's much more than that. It's about offering the totality of our life to God. And it says, as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. What's a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice is a sacrifice to get up and say, oh, I'm not going to do this any longer. It's a choice, it's a live choice. It's a living choice. It's a moment by moment choice. That here I am, my purpose for living is to give the whole of myself to God. So that means you're walking, talking, going about, lazing about, working, whatever you do is to be offered to God. This is our Christian worship. This means that Sunday is intimately connected with Monday. So Sunday we come to worship God here together as a community. But most of us will then on Monday go about our daily routines and perhaps to our work. And our workplace becomes a place of worship. So Kemi in Hillenden Hospital, as she goes from here on the tube into the hospital, routinely, daily, faithfully, here is a place where she is to worship God in the conversations, in the interactions, in the care. from the simplest thing like having a cup of coffee with friends, talking about work, but at the same time looking after her patients. Every part of that day, right to the very last moment of that day, offered as worship. Now, when we do this, it means those ordinary daily things become transformed. They become extraordinary. So think of the things maybe you find most difficult to do. Like, for me, it's making the bed in the morning. It drives me mad. I say to Alexa, "Alexa, set the alarm for 5 minutes." So I make sure if I'm going to make the bed, I make it properly. I do it well as an act of worship to God, because it's a mundane thing that I'd rather not do and often don't do it because Barbara does it. All right? But offered to God, routine things, mundane things suddenly become important and have value. Or again, something I'm not very good at, emptying the dishwasher. I leave it usually to my daughter. It's a chore. But maybe this chore could be done actually for the delight and worship of God, so that routine daily chores become acts of holiness, acts of sublime delight. Even to the point that our domestic life can become like a monastery. That everything we do, everything we touch, everything that we're involved in, from making the tea to whatever, to our sexuality, whatever, can be offered to God as an act of worship. It's all elevated. I was listening to a conversation on the radio this morning, and the person is quite well known, and he was talking about sacred and secular. Sacred and secular. Now, I'd like to have rang him up. His name's Simon Jenkins. I'd like to have rang up Simon and said, "Do you know something? In the Christian story, there is no such thing as sacred and secular. That this, if you like, my secular life, and this is my religious life." No. If you're a Christian and you offer the whole of your being to God, everything becomes sacred. Every last thing becomes sacred. You're standing at the sink, washing the dishes, offered to God. You're there reading with the children, helping them practice reading, perhaps a chore, but it becomes a delight because it's offered to God. Everything becomes sacred. So, dear Simon, thank you for the interview today, but there is no such thing as sacred and secular when it's offered to God. My secular job? No. No. Your job, your Christian job, whatever it is, might be out there, offered to God. My daily routine, secular? No. Your Monday must connect with your Sunday, and everything is offered as an act of worship to God. So, for example, there is no such thing as Christian art. All art is Christian. There's no such thing in one sense as Christian music, because all music can be offered to God. Christian music? No, it's all music offered to Him. There is no such thing as secular science. No. Science is something which came ultimately from Him, that we think His thoughts after Him. It's all offered to God. So your workplace becomes a holy place. Your kitchen becomes a holy place. Those things that you do daily become divine acts of worship, and you could see your home or your flat, the place that you live, as a domestic monastery filled with the life of God. This is the Christian story. And Paul says later on in Romans, he says, you need to renew the things you think, renew your minds and don't be conformed to the way that the world thinks. We all need radical change constantly because our minds have been framed to thinking in deeply unchristian ways, and it means therefore that we lose purpose in our life. Our life becomes much less satisfying, and all of a sudden we just behave like the world. And those of us, for example, who constantly live on a diet of social media, or for that matter, constantly listen to the news because it's largely negative, it feeds a dialogue to you which is not at all creative and helpful. It brings you down. We need to renew the way that we think. So when was the last time you did some radical changing in your thinking? Sometimes we only really change when something comes our way which is unexpected, like a major crisis. And all of a sudden, we have to rethink the way our life is and readdress those ways. Because most of the time, we're like automata. We just go on. We're determined in our behaviors. We don't really change at all. When was the last time that you really radically changed the way that you thought? For me, it's been perhaps sometimes going away on Christian retreat, or going to summer Christian events where you're with other people and you encounter new ideas and concepts and your thinking change and your view of life is perhaps elevated and different. Some years ago in the 70s, a very long time ago, I spent a long time in the Soviet Union, as it was then. And we were there for weeks and weeks and weeks, traveling around in a bus. And you know, it was an amazing experience because I encountered communism as it really was at that time. And it was dark and it was grey. It was a lunar landscape in terms of the life that it offered. And when I came back to Berlin and then home to London, I suddenly thought completely radically different about the life that I had here. Suddenly my life was full with a deep sense of gratitude at the life that was offered to me as a student at that time. I'd renewed my thinking by the experience of seeing what the dire state of the Soviet Union was like. And suddenly when I came home, I renewed the way I thought. If you want to make radical change to your life, you need to think about what you're thinking about. There is a battle for your mind. And many of you have not changed for years and years and years. And the reason why is because your life is a treadmill. You still harvest the same ideas, the same resentments, the same things that occupy your heart and mind have dragged you down. You need to be liberated from the prison that you've created around yourself. And when I meet people, I can see quickly as to whether or not their life is really imprisoned. And they need to come back to Romans chapter 12, where Paul says, renew the way you think, renew your mind. And in our little handout here, there are about 12 suggestions. Go through them and take it with you today. Reflect on them as ways that you can readdress the way that you think. When was the last you really changed? I'll tell you, yesterday at this wedding, we were hearing about Valerio and Rachel. Valerio was the groom. He came from Italy to London. He is an expensive barber, and he practices art in Chiswick. Wonderfully, a Christian pastor started going to his shop, and he was cutting his hair. And then a conversation began with a Christian pastor and Valerio, and the pastor used to go back every month just to continue the conversation with his barber, Valerio. Gradually, through the months, Valerio discovered God. He became a changed person. He started going to church. He had a radical conversion of his heart and his mind. He renewed his thinking through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was completely changed, and they could see it in him. And so yesterday, as we gathered and we celebrated Rachel and Valeria's love, people were aware that Valeria particularly had met Jesus. He'd been converted. He'd been saved. He'd been changed. And that is the invitation to all of us today, to real change, if you come alive to the real presence of God that he offers you. So to finish, what are you doing with your life? Every moment of your day, whatever you are, should be offered as sublime worship. And when you know that, it transforms ordinary things and they become sacred, extraordinary, wonderful, sublime things, full of wonder and mystery. And when was the last time that you really radically changed the way you think so that you became more like Christ and alive to his presence and his call upon your life? Amen.
Let us pray. We pray to our merciful Father God with trust and humble hope. And with simple trust and humble hope, bringing before God all our hopes and needs. Our prayers today are centered around friendship and understanding. We pray for friendship in the church and among all Christian people. As we devote our lives to bring the values of God's kingdom into the world, may we share the gift of friendship with our neighbors of every race, color, and religion. We give thanks for the children recently baptized here at St. Andrew's over the summer months. We pray for Nazaria, Theory, Thiago, and little Ava, who was baptized yesterday. Continue to bless these little children and fill their lives with love. Protect them always and guide their steps. We pray too for Bernadette's daughter, Rachel, and Raj, and her husband, Theario, who were married yesterday. We pray for the unity and harmony within our church. We pray for friendship in our homes and families as we grow together in love and respect. May we grow to understand about what it means to share the friendship of Christ by judging no one and touching the lives of one another with love and understanding. We remember in our prayers all refugees and those who feel like they are rejected people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray at this time for the family and friends of Professor Jason Arday and all who grieve his sad passing last week. We pray for all who work in the media, the press, the TV, and social media. We realize that journalists must tread the difficult borderline between what is in public interest and what is sensationalism and public hounding. We pray that our media and the social media will serve the best interest of all people, never losing sight of the values of justice, compassion, and dignity, which is God's will for all people. We pray for anyone who is suffering from depression and experiencing dark thoughts. Lord, wrap your arms around them in their season of darkness. When the weight of depression seems too heavy for them to carry, be their strength. When hope feels far away, be their anchor. Help them to take each day one step at a time, trusting that healing is possible and that joy and their joy will return. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for greater friendship and understanding to be shown towards the poor, the homeless, and those who are outcast. As we follow in the footsteps of Christ, may our actions and words show the compassionate friendship of Christ, who saw no one as being beyond the reach of God's grace or his message of love and forgiveness. We continue to pray for friendship and understanding between nations and religions of the world. We pray for an end to the conflict between the USA and Iran and the war between Russia and Ukraine, which is causing so much pain and suffering. As children of God, may we respect and accept our neighbours far and near, forgiving past mistakes and striving to fill our world with peace and understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and all who are suffering. We remember in prayers as it's time, Sue Broach, Elizabeth Bellow, Megan Fox, Lenore Meccano Green, Joyce Nicolay, Jill Rafferty, Pam Story, Easterine Suresh, Belinda Szymanski, Gary Williams, and Angela Zajurian. We pause too to remember those known to us who we remember in the silence of our hearts. May the power of your healing love touch their lives and fill them with strength and hope. We give thanks for all who have been strengthened by their faith and all who have died in faith. This week we remember with thanksgiving the anniversaries of Edward Nedkarni, Doreen Fleming, Aidan Gordon, John Gray, and Anne Ginger. We pray also for the four members of the same family who tragically lost their lives at Sodom Beach this week. Protect us, Lord, from the perils of the sea. Lord, grant us and those who have died and share in your heavenly kingdom. Father, may our loving friendship guide our daily lives. Help us to offer our whole lives to God. Help us too to renew the way we think. By knowing and loving you, may we know and love our neighbor and become a friend to everyone we meet. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.